Garcia's just sent a case of clay and a lot of material. Carried forward, of course, so I suppose I may expect to be honoured with his company any time now. We'll probably get a bill for the clay. Chief Detective Inspector Allain to Lady Allain, August 15th. My dearest Mama, your letter found me at Vancouver. Yes, please, I should like to come straight to you. No, darling, I did not lose my heart in the Antipodes. Would you have been delighted to welcome a strapping Fijian lady? I might have got one to regard me with favour at Suva, perhaps, but they smell of coconut oil, which you would not have found particularly delicious. Talking of Suva, which I was not, do you know a place called Tatler's End House, somewhere near Bossycott? Agatha Troy, who painted that picture we both liked so much, lives there. She joined this ship at Suva and did a lovely thing of the wharf. Look here, Mama, if ever a Virginia Van Mays writes and asks you to receive her, you must be away or suffering from smallpox. She's an American beauty who looks people up in Kelly's and collects scalps. She looked me up, and she seemed inclined to collect ours. Gee, Mr. Allain, I never knew your detective force was recruited from your aristocracy. I'm crazy to know if this Sir George Allain is your only brother. You see. Well, little mum, don't flirt with the vicar, and be sure to have the red carpet out on the 7th. Your dutiful and devoted son, Roderick. P.S. Miss Troy has done a sketch of your son, which he will purchase for your birthday if it's not too expensive. Lady Allain to Chief Detective Inspector Allain. Dear Roderick, your ingenious little letter reached me on my birthday, and I was delighted to receive it. Thank you, my dear. It will be a great joy to have you for nearly a fortnight greedily to myself. It will be delightful to have a Troy version of you, and I hope it was not too expensive. If it was, perhaps you would let me join you, my dear. I should like to do that, but I have no doubt you will ruin yourself and lie to your mother about the price. I shall call on Miss Troy not only because you obviously wish me to do so, but because I have always liked her work and should be pleased to meet her, as your Van Mays would say. Until the 7th, my dearest son, your loving mother. On the 10th of September at 10 o'clock in the morning, Agatha Troy opened the door in the eastward wall of her house and stepped out into the garden. It was a sunny morning with a tang of autumn about it. Somewhere in the garden a fire had been lit, and an aromatic trace of smouldering brushwood threaded the air. Troy set off towards the studio, down on the old tennis court. It was a solid square of decent stone, with top lighting, and a single window facing south on a narrow lane, screened pleasantly with oaks and lilac bushes. Troy pushed open the studio door. From beyond the heavy wooden screen inside the entrance, she heard the voices of her class. "I've been too long away," she thought, and marched round the screen. Yes, there it all was, just as she expected. The throne shoved against the left-hand wall, the easels with fresh white canvases, the roaring gas-heater, and the class. Malmesley was already at work. The drawings were spread out on a table. He wore, she noticed with displeasure, a sea-green overall. "To go with a beard, I suppose," thought Troy. Garcia was in the south window, glooming at the clay sketch of comedy and tragedy. Sonia, the model, wrapped in a white kimono, stood beside him. Catty Bostock, planted squarely in the centre of the room before a large canvas, set her enormous palette. The rest of the class, Omorin, Phillida Lee, Watt Hatchett, and Basil Pilgrim, were grouped round Valmay Seacliff. Troy walked over to Malmesley's table and looked over his shoulder. "What's that?"
"That's the thing I was talking about," explained Malmesley. "It's the third tale in the series. The female has been murdered by her lover's wife. She's lying on a wooden bench, impaled on a dagger. The wife jammed the dagger through the bench from underneath, and when the lover pressed her down... You see, the knife's hidden by the drape. Seems a little far-fetched, I must say. Surely it would show."
"Well, it needn't if the drape is suspended a little," said Troy, "from the back of the bench, for instance. Then, as she falls down, she would carry the drape with her."
"Of course," Valmay Seacliff was saying. "I went down rather well in Italy. The Italians go mad when they see a good blonde. They used to murmur when I passed them in the streets, 'Bella' and 'Bellissima.' It was rather fun."
"Is that Italian?" asked Cassie morosely.
"It means beautiful, darling," answered Miss Seacliff. Oh, hell,
said Sonia. Well, said Troy loudly, I'll set the pose. She stopped.